Darkcast Network. Indie pods with a dark side.
On the night of February 7th, 2018, 23-year-old Khadijah Britton was at a friend's house in Covelo, California. Just 8 days earlier, she had escaped from her boyfriend's home after he assaulted her, causing serious injuries. Khadijah reported the attack to police, but she was scared of what he would do to her if she followed through. That night, he showed up with a gun. Witnesses reported that she was forced into the back of a black Mercedes sedan, and Khadijah Britton has never been seen again. Her alleged abductor, Neji Fallis IV, was arrested and charged with attempted murder and kidnapping, but those charges were dropped. Everybody in that community knows what happened to Khadijah Britton. The sheriff knows, the FBI knows, her family knows, and the man they believe is responsible has walked free over and over again for 8 years. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Khadijah Britton. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode and is here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. This week's story is so infuriating because I honestly can't believe we're even covering it.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly somebody that killed her. Like, there's a very clear suspect. Everybody knows what happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. This should not fit the criteria of this show.
No, not at all.
Yet, 8 years later, here we are. And yeah, so it's not a normal episode because there's no real mystery here. Khadijah was kidnapped at gunpoint by a man with a long history of violence, including documented violence toward her. She hasn't been seen after that. The police know where this man is, yet over the past 8 years, he's been largely free to continue to live and commit more crimes. But police say they don't have enough evidence for a conviction. So instead of Khadijah's family receiving justice, they've been slapped in the face over and over again by a system that's failed them. But before we get into it, and obviously there's a lot to get into, we have had a bunch of wonderful people join us over on Patreon, so we'd like to take a moment to give them some shout-outs. Thank you to Kim C., Beth M., Jessica M., and Kristen. We really appreciate your support.
Thank you all so much.
As a reminder, you can join us over on Patreon at any level, starting at just $2 a month to get these episodes ad-free and early, and you'll also get a free copy of the ebook that I wrote. So without further ado, let's just get into the story of Khadijah Britton. Khadijah Rose Britton was born on April 22, 1994 in Covelo, California, to Connie Hostler and Jerry Britton Jr. Covelo is a small remote community in northeastern Mendocino County that sits in Round Valley, about 45 miles north of Ukiah. Covelo's population is a little under 1,400 people, and it's the type of place where everyone knows everyone. About a quarter of Covelo's population is Native American, and it includes land that is part of the Round Valley Indian Reservation. The Round Valley Reservation is not the ancestral homeland of any single tribe. It was actually established in the mid-1800s as a place where the U.S. government forcibly relocated multiple indigenous peoples, including the Yuki, the Wailaki, the Nomlaki, the Pomo, and others from their own lands across Northern California. The government, of course, saw indigenous people as one giant group, but they weren't, and they aren't. These people all had different languages and cultures, but they were herded together onto shared land. Khadijah is Wailaki, which means that she's descended from people who endured tremendous harm at the hands of the government. The community she grew up in is still dealing with the consequences of that today. Khadijah's family is well known in the area. Her grandparents, Ronnie and Lydia Hostler, were pillars of the Covelo community. I mean, they still are. According to the Press Democrat, Ronnie and Lydia owned a gym and they used to open it three nights a week for basketball. They also coached local kids in softball and other sports, so it's no surprise that Khadijah took to athletics from a young age. At Round Valley High School, Khadijah excelled both academically and athletically. She graduated in 2012 with a GPA of 3.17 and was a standout player on the school's varsity basketball team, the Lady Mustangs. Khadijah's grandfather, Ronnie, never missed a game. He told Dateline, quote, "She loved playing basketball and was really good at it. She kept her grades up and wanted to play ball in college. We knew she'd go far in life," end quote. And that was the dream for Khadijah, for her to get out and make something of herself. She was smart, talented, and well-liked. She had endless potential and seemed poised to beat the odds. And that was a big deal because growing up in Covelo wasn't easy. According to a 2018 Press Democrat article, more than 41% of Covelo residents live below the poverty line. The town's unemployment rate was about 4.5%, while the Round Valley Indian Tribe's unemployment rate was 86%.
Wow. That's insane.
Drugs are also prevalent in the community, with meth being the drug of choice at the time. Mendocino County Sheriff's Lieutenant Shannon Barney was the case's lead investigator. Like Khadijah, he's also a member of the Wailaki tribe, and this is how he summed up Covelo's problems. Quote, "You have a high degree of substance abuse. It used to be alcohol, now the prevalent one is meth, and now it's moving into heroin. All of those things factor into the societal breakdown. You have an economically repressed area where more and more people turn to substance abuse to mask those problems in their lives," end quote. So that's what Khadijah was born into, and that's what her family was fighting against. That's why they wanted her to get out of Covelo and go to college. But unfortunately, Khadijah opted not to do that. When she graduated high school, she wasn't ready to move on. She wanted to stay home. And that decision led her down the exact path her family had been hoping she would avoid. They'd been hoping that she'd at least attend the local community college just to get her feet wet and, you know, just to see what else was out there. But sadly, that wasn't in the cards. Instead, she began to party and hang out with older friends. Kayla Batega, Khadijah's friend since preschool, told the Press Democrat, quote, "She got into drugs right after high school sometime, and a lot of my classmates did. A lot of them ended up wandering around like she did. There were a lot of my classmates that could have went far and done a lot of things, but it's just hard to get out of Covelo," end quote. So instead of getting out of Covelo and living a beautiful life, Khadijah met Neji Fales. When she met Neji Fales IV, he was roughly 13 years older than her and was already the father of four children, with a documented history of violence going back years. His own father, Neji Fales III, had been charged with at least five Mendocino County domestic violence cases. Court records showed that by the time Fales met Khadijah, he already had multiple prior domestic violence charges related to other women. But for whatever reason, Khadijah fell for Neji. Not only that, but she quickly took on a mothering role with his children. She would do their laundry, cook them meals, and pick them up from school. But as you've probably guessed, it wasn't a healthy relationship. Family members and friends later described it as controlling and abusive from early on. Fales was possessive and easily angered. Khadijah's friend Kayla even said that her father had seen Khadijah walking one day and offered her a ride. She refused, though, because she said that Neji wouldn't like it. And this was presumably because it would be a man giving her a ride, but the man in question was her best friend's dad.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah, a bit.
You know, obviously we can see where
all this is going.
Yeah, and where it came from too, right? Like, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
His dad probably hurt him. He hurts other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Soon, Khadijah began to lose her shine. She seemed to grow increasingly unhappy, but Of course, her situation wasn't as simple as just leaving, for a lot of reasons, but especially because Khadijah had grown close to Neji's children. The Press Democrat article does a good job of putting Khadijah's life into context, and this part of it is no exception. April McGill of Red Women Rising told the Press Democrat, quote, "It's a cultural thing for Native women to take care of our families. We take care of our children and our community, and we support our partners. Often with women in domestic violence, they're hoping to change that person. They're hoping to be that light in his life. And Native women, we always put everybody before ourselves. That's just our traditional value of us taking care of our family," end quote. However, by early 2018, Khadijah had reached her breaking point. She did leave Neji and moved out of his home. But that, of course, wasn't the end of it. I think we all know by this point that the most dangerous time for a woman in an abusive relationship is when she tries to leave. And this case is just such a stark illustration of that. On January 29th, 2018, Khadijah and Neji reportedly had an argument and she left his house. Her friend Felix came to get her and took her to his grandmother's house. But then Neji showed up, and what happened next is horrifying. This comes from an article in the Anderson Valley Advertiser that reported on a preliminary hearing for Neji. Quote, "Miss Britton told Deputy Logan that she and Felix were hanging out when Fallis suddenly appeared in the house, yelling at Britton she needed to get the fuck out of the house. She said Fallis then grabbed her by the hair and pulled her out, calling her a whore and saying her parents had raised a whore. Fallis pulled her to a white Mustang where she fell to the ground and was kicked in the chest, hit in the face with Fallis's fists, and struck in the head with what she believed was a hammer," end quote.
Jesus.
This next part is from Deputy Logan's testimony, the officer who interviewed Khadijah after this. D.A. Eister, quote, "Did the defendant say anything to her?" Deputy Logan, quote, "Yes, that if she didn't get in the car, he was going to kill her." Eister, quote, "Anything else?" Logan, quote, "Yes. She said he told her he'd kill her if she got away and make sure she was dead if she survived the incident," end quote. Afterward, Khadijah went to her father's house, visibly injured, and called the Round Valley Tribal Police. In the days that followed, Khadijah took initial steps toward getting help. She went to the Round Valley Tribe's Domestic Violence Center, and she had plans to go to court on February 5th to obtain a restraining order against Fallis, but she never made it to that court date. On the day of the hearing, Khadijah went to the police and said she didn't want to pursue charges. Her family believes that Neji coerced her into doing this. But also, did he really need to try that hard? The system she had reached out to hadn't given her any reason to feel safe. Like, yes, they were helping her. They gave her money and clothes and makeup and stuff so she wouldn't have to go back to his house and get her things. But that didn't change the fact that they still lived in the same town and she had no real protection from him. So she was naturally terrified of what would happen if she followed through with her complaint.
Was he even in jail at this point?
No.
So it's interesting that you said that she went and basically dropped the charges, right?
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of jurisdictions are going to now is that, particularly in domestic violence cases, the state will press the charges and it's not up to the victim.
Right.
And because we see this over and over again in domestic violence cases where they are coerced by their partner to drop the charges and they end up going back into a horrible situation.
So Khadijah was in a bad situation, right? She knew he would hurt her if she stayed. She knew he would hurt her if she left.
Right.
But even though she dropped it, 2 days after she was supposed to get that restraining order, he came for her anyway. It's springtime. I got some new pieces from Quince, and I'm so excited to tell you about them. I love all of their cashmere pieces for the winter, but it's springtime and I wanted something light and breathable. So I went straight to their linen collection. I got these beautiful green linen pants that I absolutely adore. You can wear them dressed up or dressed down however you want. I also got this amazing top that looks like it should wrinkle immediately, but somehow doesn't. And it's so soft and beautiful. And that's because Quince uses premium materials like 100% European linen, organic cotton, and ultra-soft denim. And it all starts at just $30, because everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So go ahead and refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/ATTWG for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/ATTWG for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ATTWG. You should never have to choose between a home that looks great and one that's actually livable. Between pets, kids, spills, some of which are done by my kids, many of which are done by me, the new Ruggable All-in-One Rug delivers premium design with the peace of mind of being machine washable, stain resistant, and non-slip. I came to the conclusion long ago that I need machine washable rugs in my home. And Ruggable has the most beautiful designs, whether it's vintage-inspired, neutral, modern, whatever your style is, you will find it at Ruggable. They're stain-resistant for everyday spills, but they have a high-quality look and feel. And most importantly, they're durable and built for your life. Refresh your home at Ruggable.com. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with promo code ATTWG at Ruggable.com. That's Ruggable.com and use code ATTWG at checkout. Around midnight on February 7th, Khadija was at her friend's residence on Airport Road in Covelo. She had been staying there since the hammer incident the week before, but apparently had been keeping in contact with Neji, so he knew where to find her. That night, he went to the house in a black Mercedes sedan driven by his new girlfriend, Antonia Bautista Dalson. Yes, new girlfriend.
That didn't take him long.
Even though he had moved on to someone new, Neji wasn't ready to let Khadija go, and he roped this new girl into his plan. And I say girl, because even though she was technically a woman, Antonia was only 20, making her even younger than Khadija, while Neji was damn near 40.
Jeez.
According to witnesses, Neji got out of the car armed with what appeared to be a small Derringer pistol. You know, that was what I read in the news article. Like, what is a Derringer? I only know that in context of, like, gangster movies. What does that even mean, a Derringer? Is that...
It's a small, usually like a one or two shot pistol.
A one or two shot?
Yeah.
I didn't know that even existed anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're around. I don't understand why, but they're around.
No, all right. He went to the door of the house and demanded that Khadija come outside and speak with him. After that, a physical altercation broke out. Neji hit Khadija, chased her around the car, and then forced her into the back seat. Antonia drove away, and Khadija Britton has not been seen or heard from since. Now, I said according to witnesses, it's a little hard to determine if there were multiple witnesses to this event or if there was only one. It sounds like there were multiple, but I can't be clear. And for what I would imagine by this point would be very obvious reasons, police haven't given any specifics about who witnessed this,
right,
who was in the house, you know what I mean? Because obviously it's not safe.
Right.
So.
I mean, it would be if they put him behind bars.
Well, but that's the thing. You know, I think a lot of the fear isn't just about him, right? Because, again, it's such a small community. You know, he has a lot of family. He has a lot of friends. And
yeah,
I think the fear extends beyond just this one man. But yes, putting him in jail would help. So either way, whether it's one witness or multiple witnesses, they did not immediately call the police.
Why?
They were scared. They were terrified. They're terrified of this man. I think it's natural to ask why. It's natural to not understand that, because obviously everybody thinks, like, you see somebody kidnapped at gunpoint in front of you, like, you're going to call the police.
Yeah.
But it's just a situation that you and I have never, like, we just can't really understand. Like, we've never been to this community. We don't know what it's like to grow up under these circumstances. We don't know who knows who, like, who is under threat, what the threats are. But as an outside observer, it's pretty clear to me that there's a lot of fear built in. It's a small community, and the person that they would be reporting has deep roots, is still there, still armed, and has already demonstrated that he's willing to use violence. There's a very real fear of retaliation in tight-knit communities like this, and it's a big reason that Khadija's case has remained unsolved for 8 years, despite it being pretty fucking clear what happened. Mendocino County Sheriff Matt Kendall addressed this directly at a 2021 press conference. He acknowledged the reality of the situation, but as a sheriff, was also reasonably frustrated, saying, quote, "These are good people, and now they're suffering because straight-up criminals have intimidated people into not talking. So who is the community supporting by not talking? Is it the good people who raised us?" End quote. Because the witness or witnesses didn't come forward and call 911 that night, Khadija wasn't immediately reported missing. It was only after a few days of not being able to get a hold of her that Khadija's family filed a missing persons report. When they finally realized on February 10th, according to the Mendocino Voice, they alerted the sheriff's office, and within 2 days, deputies pieced together what had happened. She had been kidnapped. Just to, you know, make the timeline clear, it took 2 days to 3 days for her family to realize she was missing. Then it took another couple days for the sheriff's department to realize that she hadn't just run off.
Right.
Because, again, it's not like the parents reported her missing because they knew she had been abducted at gunpoint.
Right.
Like, it took a few more days for that to even come out. After police had figured out the severity of what had happened to Khadija, things seemed to be moving quickly and in the right direction. On February 19th, 2018, Neji Fallis was arrested by the Round Valley Tribal Police and transferred to the Mendocino County Sheriff's custody. He was charged with an extensive list of felonies in connection with both the January hammer attack and Khadija's disappearance. Assault with a deadly weapon, kidnapping, first-degree burglary, attempted murder, threatening to commit a crime resulting in death, and being a felon in possession of a firearm and ammunition. His bail was set at $200,000. Though her family didn't know where Khadija was or what exactly had happened to her, it looked as though the man responsible was going to be punished. But then, in June, it all fell apart. That month, the charges stemming from Khadija's disappearance were dropped. Every single one of them.
Why? How?
The district attorney's office said there was insufficient evidence to proceed, and Neji Fallis was released on reduced bail.
How is there insufficient evidence?
Well, from what it sounds like, the witnesses were beginning to recant. They weren't going to testify. They were changing their story, you know,
oh my God.
All of the above.
This is so frustrating. What did he tell the cops happened to her?
I don't know. I haven't read anything about what he said, you know, what his side of the story was, or if he said anything at all.
Yeah. I want to know what the girlfriend said. Like, I would assume that the cops questioned her, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about her later. So as of this recording, in May 2026, he's never been recharged with anything related to Khadija's disappearance. The DA still had the firearms charge, though. Remember, one of those seven charges was because he was a felon in possession of a firearm. And that one stuck. In October 2018, Fallis pleaded no contest to that charge. In December, he was sentenced to 4 years in state prison, but he only served 15 months.
What?
And was out in early 2020.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know if, because it said early 2020, I actually didn't see the exact date of his release. I wonder if it was related to COVID.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's a recurring pattern.
Yeah.
Of course, despite his good fortune, Neji Fallis didn't turn over a new leaf. Instead, he kept terrorizing his community. 4 months after his release, deputies found him in a car at 3 a.m. with two loaded firearms, one of which was a Ruger Mini 14 rifle that had been converted to an assault weapon. They also found a meth pipe. So this was obviously all a probation violation, So he was arrested again and charged with 7 counts, including violation of post-release community supervision, felony under the influence of a controlled substance while armed, felon in possession of a firearm, possession of ammunition by a prohibited person, carrying a loaded firearm in public or in a vehicle, possession of an assault weapon, and felony possession of a stolen firearm.
That's a lot.
A lot. He was booked into the Mendocino County Jail on a $75,000 bail and was eventually sentenced to 27 months in federal prison.
Only 27 months for all of that?
Guess how much he served.
Oh, God, I don't want to know.
13. 13 months for all of that. He also tried to run from the cops. They didn't even charge him with that.
They didn't charge him with resisting?
No, they didn't charge him with, like, yeah, attempting to flee or whatever. Because from what it sounds like, he was high. He and another guy who was in a different car had, like, gotten into an accident. He was, like, half passed out in the car. The cops came, recognized him, because obviously, you know, he's pretty well known.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, shit, was, like, reaching down, trying to hide all of his stuff in the car, tried to take off. Didn't get far, and then, like, gave up.
This is unbelievable.
So by the fall of 2022, he was out of prison again and back in Mendocino County. And then it happened again. Ballas, who is now 45 years old, was arrested and charged early this year with 4 felonies in connection with a shooting that occurred in Covelo in November 2025. On November 18th, the victim went to a home on Airport Road, the same road from which Khadijah was kidnapped, in order to collect some money that he was owed. In a scene that is eerily similar to what happened to Khadijah, about 10 minutes later, a car arrived. The victim got into the car to speak with the driver, Neji Fallis. An argument ensued, and Neji got out of the car with a gun. He and the victim fought, and the gun discharged. The man was shot in the foot. Mendocino County Sheriff's spokesperson Captain Quincy Cromer told reporters, quote, "We don't believe it was accidental. If there's an intent to shoot someone and you are struggling over a gun, it's still attempted murder. It comes down to him brandishing and displaying the gun against the victim," end quote.
Okay, so they got him now, right?
Well, he was charged with 4 felonies, attempted murder, assault with a firearm, possession of a firearm by a felon, and transportation of a controlled substance, as well as potential sentencing enhancements. But we don't know what happened because he's currently in the Mendocino County Jail awaiting trial. So at least he's off the streets. But the question is, for how long?
Right.
So to recap, since Khadijah disappeared, Neji has been arrested with firearms in 2018, 2020, and 2026, and has now been charged with shooting a man. Between those arrests, he has spent a total of roughly 3 years behind bars, which is about half of the time he was sentenced to. And he served that time for everything except what he allegedly did to Khadijah. So now let's get back to Khadijah. Within days of her disappearance, more than 100 volunteers were on the ground in Round Valley. The searches covered roads, waterways, and the rugged terrain surrounding Covelo. By March 2018, the FBI joined the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office and the Round Valley Tribal Police in the investigation. More searches followed. The National Guard was even involved at one point. By 2021, Sheriff Kendall said his department had put, quote, literally thousands of hours of investigative time, end quote, into the case, conducted hundreds of interviews, and served over 40 search warrants.
And found nothing.
Not enough, apparently. In a 2018 Press Democrat article, it talks about how Khadijah's family members searched for her in abandoned buildings, in waist-high snow, and in old chicken coops. This quote from the article really encapsulates the determination they have to find her. It's about her father, Jerry. Quote, "On these walks, he carries a rifle just in case and a shovel, which he uses to dig up the shallow graves he comes across more often than he'd like, usually finding beloved pets wrapped in blankets," end quote. But despite all of these searches, Khadijah has never been found. February 2021, 3 years after her disappearance, the sheriff's office and the FBI held a joint press conference. FBI Assistant Special Agent in Charge Scott Schaible stood alongside Sheriff Kendall and Khadijah's mother, Connie, and announced a new $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of whoever was responsible. An anonymous donor had already put up $85,000 for information leading to Khadijah's location. And even that apparently hasn't been enough for people to talk. Like, that's how terrified they are.
This is just
because that's life-changing money in a place with 86% unemployment.
Right.
Like, that's an insane amount of money.
Yeah. This is crazy.
Khadijah's case has sadly become a part of the missing and murdered Indigenous women movement. Her aunt, Laura Betts, told Dateline, quote, "We all knew she'd do great things. We never thought she would be one of the many faces of MMIW," end quote. It's a crisis that has existed for generations, but has gained national attention in recent years, and the statistics are horrifying. According to the Department of Justice, 84.3% of Native American women experienced some form of violence in their lifetime. On some reservations, Native women face murder rates more than 10 times the national average. And homicide is roughly the third leading cause of death among Indigenous women ages 10 to 24. According to the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, 95% of MMIW cases have never been covered by mainstream media. Not once.
This is just unbelievable. These statistics are terrible.
Khadijah is one of the lucky ones, if you can call it that. Her case has been covered extensively by the local press, but even then, it's had very little national coverage. Though Dateline has covered her story, but, you know, not in a full episode or anything like that. Khadijah's family has worked tirelessly to keep her name and case out there. Her name has appeared on banners at NFL games and at Mount Rushmore. Her photo is on bumper stickers and roadside signs throughout Northern California. And a mural in Ukiah was painted in her honor in 2021. And despite the years of heartache and dead ends, there has been a bright spot in the Britton family. Khadijah's younger brother, the one she cheered for at every game, the one she was always trying to coach, got out of Covelo. He went to college on a basketball scholarship. Her grandfather told Dateline that Khadijah would have been so proud of him. When it comes to what happened to Khadijah Britton, there aren't a lot of theories. She didn't run away. She didn't have an accident. She's not lost. Khadijah was abducted at gunpoint by a violent man. The Mendocino County Sheriff, the FBI, and Khadijah's family all believe that she's dead. In 2022, a former Mendocino County Sheriff's deputy named Trent James, who worked on the case, spoke publicly about the investigation. According to James, he personally spoke to Antonia Bautista Dalson, the young woman who was driving the car on the night of Khadijah's abduction.
Okay, let's hear it.
He said that Antonia told him that she eventually let Neji and Khadijah out of the vehicle and she left. But about a half hour after she let them out, Neji called her crying, saying that he screwed up. Antonia showed James the approximate location of where she dropped them off. But searches have still turned up nothing. And somehow, even this story wasn't enough to arrest Neji.
I'm dumbfounded. I mean, this is a very clear no-body murder case.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the problem that we're running into right now is that there aren't any forensics.
Sure.
But there are enough people who witnessed it, or in Antonia's case, were directly involved.
Right.
That would be pretty compelling if it ended up in court.
Yeah.
You don't need forensics to get a conviction. You don't need a body to get a conviction. But you do need compelling circumstantial evidence. You know, we saw in the Shane Donahue case that circumstantial evidence, like this is the last person who saw him, wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You need more. And this case has more. if people testify.
Right. Which I guess is the hang up.
That's what it sounds like. And so without that testimony and without a body and without physical evidence, the DA just doesn't believe that they can make the case. Now, I don't know who the original witness or witnesses are, and I don't know what their deal is. You know, I don't know who they know, who they're afraid of, whatever. But to me, the key to this case is Antonia.
Yeah.
In August 2018, she was arrested on a charge of felony suspicion of harboring or concealing a wanted felon for her role in Khadijah's abduction.
Did that charge stick?
Somewhat. In January of 2019, she was sentenced to 1.5 years in Mendocino County Jail to be followed by 1.5 years of supervised probation. The sentence also came with several additional requirements, including 6 months of mandated residential drug treatment to be served after her jail time, and no contact with Fallis either directly, through technology, or through a third party. At her sentencing hearing, District Attorney David Eyster requested an aggressive sentence, arguing that Antonia had not only taken a leadership role in the events of February 7th, 2018, but also helped plan the crime. He says that she also repeatedly lied to law enforcement and interfered with Khadijah's investigation. In addition, he says that she continued to assist Fallis during phone calls to jail while he was awaiting trial, and that she promised to help him get a gun once he was out, so he could, quote, come out like a motherfucker, end quote, in order to find someone who was called, quote, a leak in their team, end quote.
What the hell?
Right? Like, this is a 20-year-old girl.
Ugh.
So this next part made my jaw drop. Antonia's attorney had a one-page statement that asked for leniency, saying that she was the mother of two young children and was currently in family court trying to retain custody of them.
Who's the father?
Not Neji, I don't think. Okay. I think they're, yeah, I think that's unrelated.
Okay.
But all this is going on. She's 20 years old and already has two young children. But most importantly, her attorney at the sentencing hearing said that she was no longer in a relationship with Neji Fallis.
Yet she won't cooperate with law enforcement in the investigation?
No. Because again, I mean, if she had been in a relationship with this man, I can't imagine it worked out well for her.
Right.
You know? True. I mean, I have to imagine she was a victim of his too. I don't know, you know, if at the time she was still involved with him or she wasn't. I have no idea. But it does appear that Antonia may have actually moved on. It looks like she got married to somebody who's not him.
Okay.
So when I was trying to find out what she's been up to since getting out of jail, because, you know, I want to see if she's stayed out of trouble, if she was, you know, rearrested for any of these related charges, like if anything had come up.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of looked into her and I found some records that indicate that she may have gotten married and changed her name. And she does appear to have left California altogether. So this looks to have been a positive move for her. On October 24th, 2021, she posted a video to her TikTok account celebrating 1 year of sobriety. She is now 28, a mother of four, and appears to be devoted to her children, the youngest of whom just turned one. And I'm sure that she wants to put her past and her relationship with Neji Fallis behind her. I can only imagine what a dark, scary time that was for her. And she managed to do what Khadijah couldn't do. She got out. She left Covelo and has a life. She has four children and a large family who loves her.
I mean, good for her, but Khadijah didn't get that opportunity.
Yeah, there's another family out there who has a piece of its heart missing. A family who's been searching for that missing piece for the past 8 years. They wanted Khadijah to get out, to go on and start a new life and find happiness, but she didn't get that chance. Antonia may not know every single detail about what happened between Neji and Khadijah that night, and I'm sure she's still terrified of him. But he's currently in jail on a $500,000 bond and is facing some pretty serious charges, hopefully ones that will actually come with some serious time. Antonia's testimony about the conversations and events leading up to their trip to the house on Airport Road and what happened afterwards may be enough for the DA to finally bring a case against Neji Fallas and finally bring justice to Khadijah and her family. She's not the only one who has been carrying the weight of what they know for 8 years, but it's time to put it down. Khadijah Britton has been missing from Covelo, California, since February 7, 2018. She's a Native American woman with brown hair and brown eyes. At the time of her disappearance, she was approximately 5'8" tall and 150 to 180 pounds. Khadijah has a tattoo of the word Britton on her right arm and the word Wailaki on her left forearm. She was 23 when she went missing. She would be 32 today. If you have any information about Khadijah's disappearance, please contact the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office at 707-463-4411 or the FBI's San Francisco Division at 415-553-7400. You can also submit tips anonymously online through the MCSO's anonymous tip line at wetip.com. A combination reward of up to $120,000 is available for information leading to Khadijah's location or the arrest and conviction of those responsible for her disappearance. The Help Find Khadijah Britton Facebook group is still active and maintained by her family. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!